This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Natasha Miller, President and CEO of Entire Productions. Natasha, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial background and what led you and inspired you to start Entire Productions.
Well, I think I was an entrepreneur at 15,
okay. And
we did not use that language
right. Back
then. It didn't exist. I'm not sure when it started coming up, but I was a classical violinist.
Oh, wow.
And a singer. And at 15, I started playing professional gigs with my string quartet that I put together. And the first event that I was paid for was the inauguration for the governor in Des Moines, Iowa.
How fun.
So that sparked a little idea of how I could have my own little mini business growing up. And then in college, I started getting really savvy about marketing and put ads in the wedding magazines.
Okay.
And did a wedding fair, which that was just at the precipice of where weddings were starting to become a very high dollar event. And I got so double, triple, quadruple booked, instead of turning away that business, I would hire my professors and other musicians to play in a group that I manage. So I would tell my prospective client, I am personally not available, but I'll bring in a group that's as good as I am and probably better and manage them.
So yeah. What was the first step you took after you realized, okay, I'm really serious, I'm going to start my own company?
Wow. I did that from, okay, so officially really around 18 is really when I started full pedal doing that extra booking. And all I ever thought I was going to be in life was a professional musician, so violinist and jazz vocalist. So I really never thought I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, I'm going to have a company, I'm going to have people work for me. And it just started kind of blossoming on its own, very organically. And then in about 2001, I made it official and got a business license. But I really was a sole proprietor for a good 10 years.
Okay.
I had some freelancers and some interns, but I never considered it to be a business that would scale and grow. The turning point was when my daughter was in high school and she didn't really need me as much around.
Yeah.
So I was then physically going out to marketing and networking events in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just when it started really even more exploding. And once in 2009, when I rebranded and relaunched, I could see that the business was going to be bigger than I ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I started slowly considering it to be a bona fide, real, serious business.
And you rebranded and relaunched in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that, because that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort.
It was a lot of work and effort, but it was so amazing. So I had taken a course online at the Berklee School of Music, an entrepreneurship course.
Okay.
I wasn't even sure if I could take the entrepreneurship course because I wasn't sure I was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Right? So I had three businesses that I currently had. I had a music publishing company, a small record label, and Entire Productions,
okay. My
event production company. And I had to decide on which one I would focus on. And I was like, I can't decide. I'm going to do them all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, quickly I realized that that was not going to work
out.
So I focused on Entire Productions. And I decided then that I was going to put a lot of weight and energy in there. So I redid the logo, redid the website, hired a programmer, did a huge back end with all of our artists. So we have a very robust website. And we put on a huge party at the Oakland Rotunda that was completely sponsored. And it was amazing.
Wow. And when you started, were you ever afraid to fail?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm. It never occurred to me.
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs, people who want to start, grow, or fund their business, who are really afraid of failure, and then they just end up not starting a business because they let it kind of take over?
Oh, gosh. Man, I would say, I mean, certainly there were some failures in my lifetime, but nothing that I'm ever looking back on and spending even a millisecond on.
Right.
So I would say, somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur, you know, you really have to love what you're doing, period, end of story. Otherwise, you're throwing a lot of time into something that's going to make you feel bad. So if you are so passionate about it and you know you're good at it or you know you can get good at it, because I'm not one to really encourage people that just simply don't have, like, the talent, perhaps,
right.
in something that they have a passion for.
Right.
those things they can be passionate about and support in another way. Man, I would just say go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And when did you start this business?
Officially started this business in 2001.
That's amazing. So you're seasoned, you've been in this a while. What was the biggest challenge that you had to face and overcome when you were starting Entire Productions?
When I was starting it, I really didn't think about hiring employees. And I really didn't for a long time. I managed a lot on my own. It was a great thing because I wore all the hats and mm-hmm. I knew a little bit, enough to be dangerous, and every single thing. I knew how to plug in a PA and mix channels. And but I think the single most difficult thing about owning a business is hiring people to work for you, mm-hmm. especially where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's really difficult to... for any business to find great people to work for them because the economy's really great now.
Yeah.
And everyone has a great job and there's no place to live and it's very expensive. So
right.
that's the biggest challenge.
And entrepreneurship is often glamorized, you know, being your own boss, making mm-hmm. your own hours. What's the truth behind being your own boss?
I'm not sure how glamorous it is, but I really do get to make my own hours. I just happen to like to work a lot. Mm-hmm. And I really love my business. I love what we do. So there are lots of hours, especially if you're trying to wear all of the hats. Mm-hmm. And again, you have to love what you do so that you are enjoying the time that you're putting into it.
Right. And what new things are you introducing to your company to enhance culture and experience?
Yeah, I'm always excited about improving culture and now finally understanding what culture really is.
Right.
A few years ago, I thought it was you had to have Google's culture, yeah. right? So you don't have to have that. So this year, we have changed from a simple plan to a 401k plan, which I'm really proud about, and we're doing a matching. No one really in my industry, especially at my size, is offering that.
Right.
Not no one, but not as many people. We are offering a paid volunteer day for each employee for the volunteer service that they want to do, mm-hmm. as well as an all-team volunteer service day together.
Oh, that's great.
So many things. We do an every other month team bonding experience that each person gets to eventually plan on their own. So
oh, awesome.
We've done Krav Maga self-defense. We've done a burlesque dance day. That was interesting. We did a hike up in the mountains in Mount Tam that was so hot and I almost died.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's really fun. Everyone gets to really show their side of what they do on their free time and what they want to bring us into. It makes them feel great, gets everyone getting to know each other a lot better.
So you're a female in business. What advice do you have to other female entrepreneurs who are kind of just breaking into their own and starting their own business?
Mm-hmm. The advice I would give to any entrepreneur, mm-hmm. no matter what, is do what I didn't do, and that is really study, learn, be voracious in finding out what you don't know. I was proud for the first 10 years of sort of doing it on my own via gut
right.
and intuition and instinct. And I did have success doing that, and I'm proud of that. Mm-hmm. But I could have learned a lot sooner had I taken some certain classes that I eventually did, found great advisors and great mentors, and read blogs and books. So I was a little stubborn, and I see entrepreneurs being a little stubborn. And sometimes I think it works for them, and a lot of times they're just stepping on their own feet.
Yeah. If you could give three tips or pieces of advice to aspiring entrepreneurs or yeah. business owners, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to do your research and don't wait to find a mentor or an advisor. There's no waiting period. So ask somebody that you admire. Ask somebody that is actually of service to you, like Pacific Community Ventures. So that's number one. Number two is make sure that your business entity is solid and intact, and maybe even trademark your name. Mm-hmm. We did that a couple of years ago, but I've been in business for 19 years, so should have done that before.
Yeah.
And the third is this might be getting a little ahead of myself or the new entrepreneur, but this year we're looking at hiring a fractional CFO.
Okay.
And really looking at our numbers and budgeting and forecasting and having this really holistic, beautiful look at what the business is. So we did a great product and service forever,
right,
and somehow I kept it afloat,
yeah,
and profitable.
Right.
Now I'm looking for the big time. We're going for $20 million. That's my goal,
okay,
my revenue goal. And I can't do that without some sort of CFO, so fractional. So before fractional would be maybe a CFO to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And where can people learn more about Entire Productions?
Our Instagram is amazing. So that's at Entire Productions and also at entireproductions.com.
Natasha, I'm so excited to see where Entire Productions is in the next 5 or 10 years.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Business Rockstars, and this is my wonderful guest, Natasha Miller, President and CEO of Entire Productions.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Youth vaping is a serious problem. One issue, flavored vapor products that help adult smokers switch, but may also appeal to youth. To address it, Juul Labs stopped the sale of non-tobacco and non-menthol-based flavored Juul pods to over 90,000 traditional retail stores. Learn more about Juul Labs' efforts to combat youth vaping at juul.com/youth-prevention. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Jesse Krieger is our guest. He's the founder and publisher of Lifestyle Entrepreneur Press. These aren't the only books you published, are they?
No, sir.
No.
Couldn't fit them all in my suitcase.
Well, that's a good thing. Get a Kindle.
Yeah.
You can't show them. I'm just trying to think of when all this happened, because all of a sudden, I'm trying to think of what the first self-help book was. Listening to Prozac, or one of those way back then, the Bible certainly, but now they're everywhere, and most of them are pretty good.
Some of them are. I mean, it's a big market in the U.S. especially. There's a voracious readership for personal development, self-help books. I can't say I read all of them, but, you know, there's some classics like Napoleon Hill and Dale
Napoleon Carnegie Hill is great.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. This is your book, Lifestyle Entrepreneur.
Yes.
You've read this one, right?
I wrote that one.
Okay. And Mind Lift, Mental Fitness for the Modern Mind.
Yeah, that one's about to drop.
And this one, Daniel Munro,
yeah,
just out?
Just about to come out, yeah.
And what's this about? Nothing to Lose.
Nothing to Lose. That's the first part of a trilogy called the 3X Confidence Series. And this first book is really about how to live like you have nothing to lose, how to take bold action, go after the things that you want in life, and do it unapologetically.
I love this title, F the Rules.
Yep,
doesn't
I don't
say
know
F.
If we can get that one
Strength from Within.
Yeah.
Good titles. And Forgiving Love. Shouldn't it be Forgiving Love?
It's actually a play on words.
Yeah.
Yeah. That author initially wrote the book Healing with Love around 20 years ago, Leonard Lascow.
I know that book.
Do you?
Yeah. I think the first one was Abraham Maslow.
Yeah.
That wrote about the seven needs of a person. Anyway, so it's a huge business, and you're taking advantage of it. Are you making any money?
Yeah, we are, because we always take the view that the book isn't the primary revenue generator,
mm-hmm,
right? It's one part of a broader business and brand. And, you know, with each author, with each book that we publish, we look at how does that book play into their next one or two business development objectives. So whether that's filling seminar seats, having coaching clients, personal training, in the case of Strength and Within, always looking like uniquely with each author, how that book launch can feed into the next 6 to 12 months of business growth and getting the media opportunities, getting their name out there.
How important is it to publish again once you've written the book?
I'd like to do a second book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't, but I took the route of starting a publishing company.
Right.
You know, with some of our authors, we're on to the second books, and some of them are working on trilogies now. So, you know, I feel blessed to have long-term relationships with our authors and that we're continuing to look further down the road.
Now, how do they find you? There's so many authors out there.
Some, honestly,
authors.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the initial batch of authors sort of followed my success and my book with Lifestyle Entrepreneur. And now it's just become a mix. I do a lot of speaking, a lot of inbound referrals. I put a lot out there on the internet. I've done a lot with online marketing. Mm-hmm. So it's a mix of those things.
How much time do you spend on social media?
For business or pleasure?
For business.
Not a ton. Maybe 3 to 4 hours a week. Mm-hmm. But we also have a team that handles some social media. And I think of more of creating great content and then pushing it out through those channels. Mm-hmm. So like, forget a segment from Business Rockstars, right? We'll push that out through social media. Other videos that we create that I'm on, we use that just as a distribution channel. Personally, I don't know. I check in a few times a day on Facebook.
Right. What's your pitch when you speak?
I say that, as a publishing company, we have a vision to elevate global consciousness through individual empowerment. And, our mission is to work with authors who have a bigger vision for their business and brand and to be their publishing partner and a strategic partner. Whereas a lot of publishers just have the view of, how can we sell more books? How can mm-hmm. we sell more units? We're looking at how can we develop a long-term relationship. Almost like in the music space, you had A&R men, right?
Right.
I like to think of what I do as sort of authors and repertoire. Finding authors, working with their ideas, shaping them into a book, and then helping them launch that out.
Still A&R, right?
Right.
Yeah. You're watching Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Jesse Krieger, and he's the founder and publisher of Lifestyle Entrepreneurs Press. You really kind of walked into a great career path here, because it seems like now more than ever, people want to change their lives, especially people in business, and empower themselves or empower others.
Absolutely. I mean, I resonate very strongly with that. It's most of our publishing focus is on personal development, entrepreneurship, giving resources to people that want to take steps to improve themselves, their life situation, and become entrepreneurs.
How many books, here's a guy who says he's a recovered meathead.
He has a unique approach to fitness, that one.
But how do you get this book out? I've never heard of this book, but I'd love to hear about it. How do you get this out?
That was actually an introduction from a friend of mine who, the author Eric Bakey, was working on this book, and it was in a rough form, a new approach to fitness, no weights, getting in the best shape of your life. Mm-hmm. So I talked to him. I actually started doing his workout regimen, and it changed my own experience of health and fitness. So I said, all right, there's something here. And from that point, we created illustrations, did a bunch of designs, and ultimately helped him start his personal training business.
How many one-arm push-ups can you do?
I can't do any. Those are extremely hard. Extremely hard. But I'm working up to them.
So what's next for this company? I mean, you can survive for quite a while on these books, but what would you do next?
Well, we're going to expand pretty aggressively into in-store distribution. I have a vision to have a book on every shelf.
Let me tell you, I've had a book out, a New York Times bestseller, and it was easy to get into books because I have a name and all this. But how do you get a book into a bookstore and get it placed right?
It's a combination of having the relationship with the distributors, with the book buyers, and having a marketing budget and having a good angle. And I think if they see...
So by relationship, you mean budget?
Both, yeah, right. Mostly that. You gotta have a budget.
Right.
The relationship helps. But I think if they see that there's a bigger push that's being done for the book and by the author themselves, that helps the story a lot.
It's such a complicated business because there's too many people depending on the other people, don't you think?
It can be. It can be convoluted. I try to keep it pretty simple. At this stage, I have a personal relationship with each of our authors. Mm-hmm. As we grow more, maybe that'll be less personal, less intimate, but I still see myself being very involved in each of the books.
I wanted my book in the airport because that's where I buy a lot of my books. And now it's been in there for almost a year. And now I'm saying, get rid of it. I'm tired of looking at myself in the thing. And then you go
check. It sells a lot of books, right?
It did sell a lot of books. What's next for the company?
We're going to move more into in-store distribution and provide even more marketing support for our authors. Mm-hmm. I think with some of the books that we have coming out now, we've had success with pre-launch campaigns, doing crowdfunding, other interesting initiatives that help validate the audience, validate the market size for a book, even before we launch it.
What's the website?
LifestyleEntrepreneursPress.com.
LifestyleEntrepreneursPress.com. And what's on that website?
That's general information about our publishing company, links to each of our books, a description of the service, the way in which we work with authors, which is a done-for-you publishing and book launch.
All right. What, in your opinion, are the two or three things, two things that every entrepreneur should do?
I think they should think big and take bold action. Make bold requests for the things that they want. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody says no, you're in the same place you're in. If they say yes, you get a quantum leap forward.
Right.
And I think to reframe the view of what is failure. I mean, I try so many things that don't work, especially with book marketing, publishing in a fast-moving space. Not taking those personally is really integral to moving forward quickly.
That's the main thing. Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Pat.
Great to have you on. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. We'll see you next time.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Rockstars.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Regan Hillier joining us. She's the founder of Regan Hillier International. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about your company. What do you do?
Absolutely. So we're all about disrupting people's vision of normal. Okay. So two core things that we help people with. One is really success mindset and helping people shift their external reality from going within. And then the other side of things is helping people with a really big message that they know that they're just born to share with the world. You know, artists, leaders, creators, entrepreneurs, visionaries, helping them unlock that and then monetize that and create a whole lot of impact through that. You know, these are people that want to make millions and impact millions of people in the process.
Fantastic. Is there a specific age range? I know that a lot of millennials are kind of fitting into that category because I'm in a similar space.
Right.
But is there a specific type of person that you work with?
There is a big range. There's a lot of women that do show up and they tend to be kind of like 25, 28, right through to kind of 40-ish. But we get people either side, but that's kind of the core of it.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. What did you do before this though? I always like to know somebody's like kind of journey.
Right.
What led into this? Was it a mentor? Was it like Tony Robbins, who was it?
Yeah, look, it has been a really organic process. You know, I definitely wasn't someone who was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be a coach and then like did a life coaching course and here we are. It really wasn't that. It was my own organic journey of being really kind of unsatisfied with what I was doing in my life. And so I grew up in Auckland, New Zealand, and had a, you know, amazing education, but was very much told that I had to go to school and work really hard and get good grades and follow that system, right? So I did that and I was at university studying architecture of all things, right?
Now you help people architect their life.
Right, exactly. I've never used that degree in my life ever, but I was sitting there actually in a university lecture and the lecturer walked in and he's like, you know, welcome future architects. I want you to picture your future 20 years out from now. And I did that and I felt sick in my stomach. And I was just like, man, like just because I can do this and just because I'm kind of good at this, this isn't me though. And so that's what threw me into personal development and really, you know, soul searching at a really young age and going, why am I here? And what's my purpose in life? And how do I do something that I love and actually make an impact? It really started there.
Fantastic. And who was the first person that you worked with? You don't have to say their name necessarily, but I think that for people on their journey, as you know, because you work with them, the hardest part is usually getting the first person, getting the first person to pay you to essentially get you started.
Right, you mean my very first client?
Your very first client.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny. I remember it down to a T. I charged, I think, $300 for like 3 months of coaching. Like, it was like below minimum wage. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. But I remember, and what's interesting is that this lady is still in my community now. Wow. And actually is still enrolled in my products and services. But, you know, people often ask, you know, what's your proudest moment? And that was one of them. It was receiving that $300.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, because all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, this actually works. Like, yeah. Like someone actually believes that I can add value. Like, this is so cool. And that's what really helped it roll.
It reminds me of like people with a restaurant. You see, they have like their first dollar made, like laminated on the wall.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like are some of the things that ultimately hold people back? You figured it out for yourself and you help others now, but for people joining us and your audiences as well.
Right.
What do you think are some of the basic things that hold people back from cutting the cord from their job and ultimately going after their dreams, having the income and the impact that they can in the world?
Totally. Look, I think the biggest thing is mindset. It really is. You know, there's so many people that they're looking for the perfect strategy. And this was me,
right? The perfect time to start, right?
Right, exactly, right. And so this was me. You know, I dug into personal development and I was literally just doing anything I could get my hands on. So I was attending wealth creation seminars and I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to invest in property. I'm going to learn how to trade currency. I'm going to learn how to start a business, sales, online business, everything, right? And I was like, why is nothing working? I was getting into all of this debt, right? Yeah. And I said to one of my mentors, I was super frustrated. And I said to him, look, maybe I'm not meant to be successful. You know, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should just have a job. And he turned around and he laughed at me, like literally in my face, right? And he said to me, he's like, Regan, you've got it all backwards. He's like, look, success is 80% psychology, right? It's 80% mindset and internal wiring. And then only 20% what you do on the outside. And he's like, how much work are you actually doing to condition yourself to succeed? And that's when it clicked for me. And that's when I started doing the internal work. And that's when everything started to shift. So I think too many people are stuck in the how and stuck in the what's the perfect strategy and like, oh, just work harder and it'll change, when really they need to change them. Yeah.
Well, I think that that's the perfect thing, because I think environments are ultimately what create our conditioning and our beliefs and our values. And one of our biggest environments is, we've all heard, is like the five people we hang out with most. So I think that's one thing that you can do to start shifting how you're thinking, feeling, and behaving is who you hang out with. But what are some other like maybe not so common things that people can start doing to condition their mindset?
Totally. Well, I would highly recommend that you have some sort of daily mindset routine or ritual.
Well, what's yours look like? Tell
us about that. Absolutely. So I do a lot of journaling. And for me, I don't think it matters too much how you do it. You know, you can meditate, you can journal, you can visualize, you can Tony Robbins run around and shout and scream and do affirmations, right? It doesn't really matter what you do as long as you get to the emotional trigger point of actually feeling what you're creating and really living into that. So for me, you know, I do a lot of journaling every single day. I sit down and I start writing out my big picture reality that I'm creating. I dig into identity work of really asking myself, well, you know, who do I need to become in order to create this? And digging into, well, what do I need to believe, right? And really just doing the daily internal work and affirming a lot of it over and over and over again. You know, if someone did that just for 10 minutes a day, their life would look so different.
That's so true. And those little tiny morning rituals and the rituals throughout the day, I think have been one of the biggest things that shifted my success. It sounds like the same thing for you.
Absolutely.
And I feel like for everyone else that's come on the show.
Yes.
Founder of Regan Hillier International, Regan Hillier is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to talk about habits and rituals again for one last second.
Cool.
What do you feel like, outside of the mindset thing, is something that people can start doing for the strategy side? You said 80% of success is the mindset, the psychology. 20% is sort of the things that you're doing, strategies and the tactics.
Absolutely.
What are some of those things?
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you know, it's kind of different depending on where people want to go, right? Mm-hmm. Because obviously everyone has a slightly different big picture vision. But something I do, which make sure that I'm always taking aligned action, as I look at, okay, cool, if this is my big picture vision or reality, and if I was in a place where I knew that was done, like if that was locked and loaded in my future, I ask myself, well, what would I be doing now in order to have this show up faster, right? And I just start writing it down. I'd be like, well, I'd contact this person, I'd do this, I'd hire this person, I'd do that, and then start doing it, right? And so if you actually go through that process, then you're not going to be just busy being busy. You're actually going to be doing the work, but it's going to be shifting you forward in an aligned way.
I want to know from your perspective what you feel like, because there's a lot of people out there that haven't done this yet, are three things that ultimately every beginning entrepreneur needs to know. So I cut the cord from my job. I'm in like that first beginning stage of starting my business. What are three things that I absolutely need to have in place or be aware of?
Totally. So I would make sure that whatever you're doing is aligned with who you actually are, what you enjoy. It's very, I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy to go and create a company, but it's easy to create a company that you don't love, right? So I would make sure, firstly, that you're doing something that comes from within, that you really care about, that you live into, that is just a part of you, because then when it gets tough, and it will, that will keep you going. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I would find out, okay, cool, what kind of people do I want to help and what are their biggest problems, right? Because obviously you need to be solving their problems or helping them on those pathways in order to exchange some value. And then thirdly, it sounds silly and basic, but you need to get in front of those people. You need to actually launch, right? Yeah. You need to actually put your offers out there into the world. There are so many people and they're like, oh, you know, I've got all these great ideas. I know who I'm going to help and I'm just not making the money I want. And I'm like, well, how often are you getting in front of them? And they're just not, right? So yeah, I think those are three core things.
I think that's fantastic. And I love that you said, you know, a lot of times people end up creating a business that they hate.
Yeah.
And so many people that have jobs are like, man, if I could just start my own business, and they create a worse, a lower paying job where they work more hours. So
exactly.
I love that you brought that up.
Right.
So what are some different ways people can get in front of them? I know that you help people do this. So break down for us. What are like some simple ways right now, anybody tuning in with us can start right now getting their message in front of people?
Absolutely. So for me, online is the answer, right? I really think, you know, if you're not online, if you're not on social media, if you're not growing these platforms, like, you're going to be left behind, right? So it can be as simple as simply going, okay, cool. What do I have to say right now? Okay, what do I have to say? And then what is my offer, which is going to lead people into taking some sort of action with me so I can help them, right? And so for me, it's simply, it could be writing that. It could be speaking that in a video. It could be doing a live stream about that on any of your platforms that you have. Now, I'm guessing everyone has like a personal Facebook page, right? Yeah. And so many people go, oh, but I don't have a platform, or I don't have a network, or I don't have a business. No, you actually do, right? Mm-hmm. And you will have some people that are following you and connected with you on there. And you don't necessarily know all of those people in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be getting that authentic content out there with a call to action and just getting it out on those platforms. Like, just start. It can be that simple.
And video. I mean, video is one of the biggest trends right now.
Yeah.
It's like so many people are afraid to just turn their camera on and then film themselves either on their laptop or their phone. But it is that easy. And I think a good message is your first 100 videos may suck.
Yes.
I'm sure yours, like mine, probably weren't as good as they are
now. Totally sucked.
And didn't have a studio and lights and stuff. It starts with just a phone.
Uh-huh.
And I think you can still make millions of dollars and impact millions of people just with your phone.
You can.
What do you think has been the biggest aha moment for you? I think that when you get started in business, you kind of learn some things, realize some things.
Uh-huh.
You get in 10 years, 20 years in business, you make your first million, 10 million and beyond.
Yeah.
And you sort of have aha moments or light bulb moments.
Right.
What do you think was one of yours?
I think one of the biggest things is that keeping it simple is sometimes the answer. Right, especially online, it's very easy for people to get wrapped up and going, okay, cool, you know, I need this big complicated launch strategy and I need this, I need that, and I need, you know, all this technology to support me. And sometimes, you know, some of my most successful launches and things that I've done online have been literally just going, wow, like, I feel really cool to do this. Like you said, turning the camera on, just going, guys, I'm running a webinar tomorrow, jumping on, doing it, speaking from the heart, and then having the offer at the end. Like, it can be that simple. And yes, you know, the other stuff can work and you can spend all this time like planning and launching and doing all this stuff. But for me, I just, it's a constant reminder of like, keep it simple, because that's the stuff that works.
That's fantastic. And I think it's so much easier nowadays to overcomplicate things. And that's what holds people back.
Yeah.
But I love that. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
But the people out there who don't know, like, how is it the right time to start? How is it the right time to hire you or go to you to help me get my message out there?
I think you really just have to make a decision. You know, there's no one externally going, you're now ready, or you need to do this, or you need to climb this ladder. Like, it really comes from you, right? Okay. So I think you just need to sit down, get really clear on, okay, where do I want to go? And then choose. And if you feel like you're not ready and you want to sit in your job for 6 months, then fine, go do that and be okay with that. Yeah. Or if you're ready to go all in now, make a decision to go all in.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Regan.
Great to have
me. Thanks. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
To be a great leader these days, you do not need a new set of skills. You simply need to execute the traditional ones at a higher level. Here's a few tips to become a better leader at work. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, lead by example. Leaders need to show, not just tell. If you want your employees to be punctual, make sure you're there on time or even early. Number two, find a mentor. The best leaders out there know when they need help and they know where to turn in order to get it. Nobody can know everything, so finding someone you trust for advice when things get tough can make all the difference. Number 3, never stop improving. Great leaders are constantly learning and always trying to improve themselves. There's always something that you can work on or a new skill to master. Be sure to keep your mind open to new ideas and possibilities. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Bank of America was recently named Best Bank for College Students by Money Magazine. With so many new and returning students preparing for the start of the school year in the weeks to come, it's critical to have the right bank account for student needs. April Schneider, Bank of America.
It's very important to build a strong financial foundation early in adulthood. At Bank of America, we're committed to helping students start off on the right foot by providing them with best-in-class products like the Advantage Safe Balance Banking Account, along with educational resources such as Better Money Habits.
Bank of America's Advantage Safe Balance Banking Account allows students to bank without the worry of overdraft fees while providing them with full mobile access to their account. Eligible students under age 24 also don't pay a monthly maintenance fee. This account was named Best Student Account by Money Magazine and is used by over 1 million clients. For more, visit bankofamerica.com. That's Bank of America.
How can you build generational wealth? Rick Glade's joining us to talk about this subject with us. He's the founder and CEO of Infinite Success Alliance. Rick, break it down for us. This is something that you talk about, you work with ultra successful people on. Break it down for us.
Yeah, you know, I think the reality is so many people are just, you know, on the chase, right? So many people are just out there, whether you're, you know, successful or you're not successful, whether you're an employee or whether you have a small business, really people are just kind of, you know, chasing the next benchmark.
Yeah.
But the reality is, very few people actually sit down and take score and think about actually building wealth for the next generation or even the second generation. So, you know, if you look at some of the, you know, the big players in that space, you know, the Kennedys and Rockefellers and those kind of guys, I mean, they've got, you know, seven generations full of wealth. And so, you know, there's not only a strategy, but there's also a, you know, a responsibility for the next up and coming generations to be involved in that as well. So, you know, there's two parts to that. To really to make it happen. But, you know, as the patriarch or the matriarch, you know, being the foundational leader of that wealth, it really, really comes down to you, you know, knowing what the end game is in your business and then knowing what the end game is in your kind of your eulogy and where you're going to go once you're gone. And how is that next generation going to carry on whatever it is that you're building? And so it really, really takes you, you know, thinking about it and taking score.
Okay, so what about for the families out there? Because this is something that comes up all the time, is you, like me, deal with really successful people that are trying to figure this thing out, right? How do I create generational wealth or a system in a business that my kids can take over if they want? A lot of the times I find it's sort of 50-50. The kids either want to be part of the business because it's just kind of like a turnkey, here you go, Here's the keys to the car kind of thing. And then there's other kids that are like against the grain. I don't want anything to do with that business, Dad. You tried to make me get in it when I was a kid growing up, but I hate it. I don't want anything to do with that. It's the last thing I want to do when I grow up. I just want to do my own thing and follow my own passion and hopefully inherit some of the wealth or the real estate or whatever it may be. So absolutely. What do you deal with in a situation like that?
That's a great point. In fact, the Rockefellers, the way they actually have almost like a council. They run their family office like a government. So, you know, again, being seven generations or whatever it is now, maybe it's even more. But the reality is they actually have where they vote, you know, and they literally vote on what somebody's going to do. So, you know, that again is part of having to put that those measures in play.
Good problems to have.
Right, good problems to have. But the reality is, too, is that when I work with a lot of people, what I, you know, don't try and put on the shoe that doesn't fit, right? So if you do have, you know, generation one or generation two, and most times you don't get involved in generation two, but at least gen one, you know, you want to make sure that you're working with the child's foundational genius. And these could be adult children at this time, right? It doesn't matter. But the point is, when I say foundational genius, I think every one of us has something in our DNA that we're really passionate about or born to do. And so I really think it takes discovery to find out what that is. And again, like, for example, I have a son. We did some testing on him for that, for his foundational genius. It says, what are you really born to do? And the reality is, he's an extremist. He wants to, you know, jump off of cliffs and skydive and do things like that. He's never going to sit in an office.
Yeah.
So if I try and force a business of real estate down his throat that says, you got to sit in this office or manage real estate or do these things, it's not going to happen, right? And it may in small doses, but it's not going to happen long term.
Yeah.
So for him, setting up some kind of trust or some type of beneficial, you know, grant or retain trust, things like that, then that's how you would set him up where he can still have the financial capacity to maybe do something that's beneficial for them under their foundational genius, you know, foundational genius and move on that way.
Well, these are good problems to have, but first we have to get there. So let's talk about what that process looks like. Again, we don't have a lot of time, so we got to be concise here, but
sure. In
a nutshell, you know, quick, effective ways to build wealth so that we can have these problems, right? So what are some good ways that people can understand, like, the basics of investing? I mean, one of the simplest things is an old saying, it literally doesn't matter how much you make, it matters what you keep.
Absolutely.
And we've probably all seen people that you make $1 million a year and you spend 1.2, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the reality is, number one, you need to make Uncle Sam your partner. Right. So take advantage of whatever, you know, tax advantages there are out there. And like you said, if you're making $30,000 a year and you're a W-2 earner, you can take and put that kind of money into like a Roth IRA. You can put that money into, you know, some type of Roth, you know, future investment account where you can maybe take that out tax free in the future. So it's not a matter of how much you're actually making. It's actually about, like you said, how much do you actually prepare for the future and how much are you actually doing that? And then so, you know, create your financial awareness to where you're doing things like that. But there's a lot of those programs out there. Again, buying a home, you get the full interest deduction of your home.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a renter out there, you know, you may be making a smaller income, $30,000 to $100,000 a year, but the reality is, by you renting the home, you're getting, you know, getting no benefits. You know, if you had an investment home, you could actually compound your wealth by having a tenant buy that home for you, right? You're getting all the tax benefits, you're getting all the appreciation, you're getting the equity, and the tenant is actually buying that. So if you're a tenant, you're probably buying somebody a home, right?
Yeah.
And so fast forward, if you're young, again, if you started when you're 18, started when you're 25, whatever it is, you know, you're 38 years old and the home is completely paid off. You have the free and clear asset. Here's the reality. The tenant bought it for you. You got all the tax benefits. You got all the appreciation over those years. And for 30 years, I don't know anybody that can go back and say, I'm paying the same amount of rent I am today that I was 30 years ago. Or I can say the value of my house is the same today as it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think real estate is probably one of the most tools that you can leverage. You know, there's other ways, options, stock market, investment, you know, those kind of things. But I think really take advantage of retirement accounts and real estate.
Fantastic. I think it's simple advice we've probably heard before, but again, it's taking action on it. And something that I love about investing is it doesn't matter how much you make. It's easier. It's easier if you make a lot of money because then you can save more and you're kind of ahead in the game. But I mean, there's so many examples out there where it doesn't matter how much you make, it matters how much you keep, and then the ways of which you compound it. I think real estate's a great one. Rick? Pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
How would you like to learn the secrets to engaging followers on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn? Become an influencer. Business Rockstars is giving you the secrets to social media, and it's free. Join us for our Social Media Startup Bootcamp, a live online event Thursday, March 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com, learn from rockstar CEOs, including Leonard Kim, who will teach you how to become an influencer, Jennifer Puno, Instagram social media ninja, and SEO and social media guru, Austin Hay. The Business Rockstars Social Media Startup Bootcamp. Find out how to engage and grow your Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn social footprints. Click, like, share. The Business Rockstar Social Media Startup Bootcamp, live Thursday, March 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com and sign up now. That's businessrockstars.com.